Again, explaining matter in a watch she gave to a student, she urged, "Watch, lest you accept the action of treatment as being truth harmonizing matter, instead of being truth spiritualizing and freeing thought from the false claims of matter. In science, we learn that the seeming disease on the body is as emphatically mental as is its cause in the hypnotized human mind." She once asked, "Now what of those who make a claim such as declaring that truth harmonizes matter, that truth will heal matter, or in any way make matter a reality to be healed? If we admit there is matter, then we admit all the causes and effects, all the beliefs. Then never admit matter. Never for one moment admit a claim of anything to harmonize." Unquote. Your treatment isn't going to do something to someone or something. As you know the truth, it sets your patient free. Mrs. Eddy chided her editors when a Sentinel article said that a diseased body is not acceptable to God, saying, "Now will any of you tell me whether God has any more use for a well body than for a sick one? Is the image and likeness of God physical? Outside the material, hypnotized sense of things, all is harmony. Everything in matter is a lie about a spiritual fact or idea, and the spiritual thing is always perfect." Quote, "The compound idea named man is unintelligent. It is a lifeless image and reflection of principle or soul. Man, the reflection, receives all it has from mind, its principle." When a student told Mrs. Eddy how a certain man was suffering from injuries received in the Civil War, Mrs. Eddy quickly asked, "What war?" The student explained, "Why, the Civil War." Mrs. Eddy again asked, "What war?" Again the explanation, "Why, the Civil War between the North and the South." Still the same question. But Mrs. Eddy added, "I see. You believe there was a war." With that, the light broke through. Christian Science treatment stands firmly on the ground that to God and the real man, evil never occurs. Mrs. Eddy accomplished her extraordinary healings through an absolute realization of evil's unreality. She repeatedly explained that we are soul, and that the invisible principle or soul is the life, intelligence, and substance of the visible manifestation, you, the incarnated expression of the kingdom of God within your own spiritual consciousness. An article in a science magazine stated that all normal children possess in their infancy qualities of genius. They are geniuses in miniature. But mediocrity soon takes over. However, the capacity unknown to mortals is still present, innate. And as we free ourselves from the spell of hypnotism and become a law to ourselves so that mental malpractice cannot harm us, either when asleep or when awake, we become aware of that genius. For the human mind, instructed by truth, yields to divine power. Then we would no more fear to walk a plank 30 feet above the ground than if that same plank were flat on the ground. Quote, "Had Blondin believed it impossible to walk the rope over Niagara's abyss of waters, he could never have done it. The feats of the gymnast prove that latent mental fears are subdued by him. The devotion of thought to an honest achievement makes the achievement possible." Unquote. As we persevere in the study and claiming of our God being, we will arrive at the promised God capacity. It has been wisely said that diamonds are only lumps of coal that stuck to their job, and that miracles sometimes occur, but one has to work terribly hard for them. The genius, which seems to depart when the wool of human birth is pulled over your eyes, is still yours, always has been and always will be. Your decisions will master you, so know what you want and develop an unremitting sense of purpose to gain spiritual sense. Right motives push you forward, and resolve any inner conflicts that may be making you unhappy and ineffective. Often our difficulties are imaginary or self-imposed, and if we kept quiet and spoke the truth to them, they would vanish. Energy, industry, perseverance are indispensable to success. But attempting to reach the top in a single leap can cause nothing but misery. Remember, Jesus patiently persisted. We should not resist the heavenly discipline that pulls down sin's strongholds, but should so absorb its timely reproof that its warning will be within us a spring welling up into unceasing spiritual rise and progress. So we must take ourselves in hand, realizing that in reality we have sovereign power to think and act rightly. Self-discipline is a great accomplishment. We don't get far without it. And bear in mind that no one can think rightly when he's full of resentment and other negative qualities. Tears of repentance and an overflowing love that forgives as ye would be forgiven help immeasurably in becoming aware of that capacity unknown to mortals. We all make mistakes, but we can't go through life afraid of making them. Failure is meant to teach us something. As before noted, it reveals to us and to the world the power of overcoming innate in our consciousness. Mistakes are only bad if we don't learn from them. Let's extract from a mistake whatever we have learned from it and press on. Remember, the flesh strives against spirit, against whatever or whoever opposes evil, and weighs mightily in the scale against man's high destiny. In spirit, which is the substance of all form, there is endless strength and immortality. Spirit has no opposite. Quote, "And God said, let us make man after our image and likeness, and let them have dominion." The "us" used in this quotation referred to intelligence, the creative wisdom, and expressed plurality. To gain the right interpretation of this saying is to admit the "us" referred to is life, truth, and love, even the triune principle that is the kingdom of God within you. Unquote. Here, life impels mind to bring forth an idea. Truth is that which is the true form of the idea, always right. And love is that which perfectly meets the need, brings salvation, bestows all good. Remember her first edition teaching that we all realize ourselves to be this triune principle when we are no longer satisfied to sleep and dream, but will with divine energy arouse ourselves from the deep sleep in which originated the delusion that life and intelligence proceeded from and passed into matter. Life, truth, love, the "us," must be understood in order to gain the harmony of the principle of being. Here we have the circle of life, which always, simultaneously, goes back to mind, the origin of all, and then to spirit, which keeps it pure, then to soul, which keeps it intact, definite, changeless, always identifying it as itself. These three, mind, spirit, soul, as one, constitute our harmonious, ever-operative, impersonal principle. Infinitely applicable. And since principle is apodictical, absolute, the one besides which there is no other, it has all the power there is. Of course, being the all and only, it doesn't need power. This principle, which in reality we are, expresses itself, as life that is infinite individuality, as truth revealing the facts of being and revealing all true forms, as love finding these facts, these forms of truth, to be the perfect answer, impartially imparting inexhaustible amplitude and affection, completeness, fulfillment. Love is the universal solvent. Love is salvation. optimization, holiness. In science, therefore, we constantly, in life, fall back on mind, spirit, soul, which become one as our principle. This principle, then, simultaneously expresses itself as life, the life that is truth, and the outcome is scientific consciousness, truth. This truth is also love, which objectifies itself as the perfection that delivers from every ill that flesh is heir to. It lifts the veil which human birth, the last enemy, imposed, and it reveals your present perfection. It is important to realize that the seven synonyms for God, the seven aspects of God, which constitute the kingdom of God within you, are always concomitantly at work as your individual spiritual consciousness to bestow maximum blessings. Brief number 10. There is no freedom but in love. Establish a pattern of love. On page 222 of the first edition, we read, "A belief of matter separates man from God and from his fellow man. The science of being gives harmony to man. Loving God supremely is simply admitting soul above sense in all things and loving our neighbor as ourself. For since there is only one, our neighbor is ourself. Because all have but one soul and should recognize themselves soul and not personal sense." Personal sense is another name for hypnotism, or that which believes in a corporeal body and in a mind and an existence apart from God. Understanding ourself and neighbor one in principle, we shall hold no divided interests and find it good to keep the two commandments that our Master said outweighed all sacrifices and burnt offerings, religious rites and ceremonies, and fulfill the prophecies, ushering in the reign of harmony that is to come on earth even as in heaven. Unquote. Since we all exist to bless one another, there is always the right thing to do. Insist that you can know what it is. By opening your thought and achieving a state of receptivity, good ideas will come to you as a sort of revelation, and you will find that the love you express to others is love that is expressed to yourself. Quote, "There is only one I or us," unquote. There is only one self. You are that self, since there can be no selfhood apart from infinite good. When you forgive others, you're forgiving yourself. Because the I that you are is the same I that I am. There is only one I. This is why love is the fulfilling of the law. Sometimes, in the human, that love is expressed in the fine art of knowing what to overlook. As Benjamin Franklin wisely said, "Before marriage, keep your eyes wide open. After marriage, keep them half shut." Remembering that we hardly find any persons of good sense save those who agree with us. Today's divorce statistics tell the sad story of the human longing for love and understanding. Quote, "The reign of harmony," unquote, the state of no divided interests. The agony and misery those statistics conjure up calls to mind Euripides' words that love may be the sweetest thing in the world, and the bitterest. Mrs. Eddy, in her chapter Marriage, states that divorces should warn the age of some fundamental error in the marriage state. Answering the question, "What do you think of marriage?" she replied, "It sometimes presents the most wretched condition of human existence. To be normal, it must be a union of the affections that tends to lift mortals higher. A counselor says he advises husbands and wives to ask themselves, 'Am I the kind of person I would like to be married to?'" At this state and stage of mankind's development, a minister said that the only time he found people with no problems was when he walked through a cemetery. Therefore, ask God to give thee skill in comfort's art, that thou mayest consecrated be and set apart unto a life of sympathy. For heavy is the weight of ill in every heart, and comforters are needed much of Christ-like touch. It is love that spins the universe, wrote Dante. Love is the primary force that holds all life together, for love alone is life. Choose you this day whom you will serve, love or a lack of it. Our lives often consist of one small crisis after another, when mostly there is nothing more at stake than momentary happiness. Yet we are always dealing with something fundamental, because in every case we must make the decision between love and hate. We should remember that hatred is a plague spot that spreads its virus. We are all here to help each other and gain the feeling that only comes when we have helped another. The more we do loving and good things, the more we can respect ourselves. But doing selfish, contemptible things hurts our self-esteem, makes us feel unloved and worthless. Surely the greatest miracle on earth is to raise ourselves out of the hypnotism that makes us see ourselves as immortal. To change our life for the better, to resurrect our mind and body from living death, requires constant watching. It requires many positive steps, having the high goal always before us. It is a task that is not consummated by a single burst of explosive energy or effort, but by consistent, daily application of what we have learned of the science of being. All must become aware that, in order to gain love, we must give love, must be love. We must cast this bread of love upon the waters, because only what we cast upon the waters can come back to us, since there is only one. I and the Father mind are one. There is only one principle. It is the kingdom of God within our own consciousness. It gives all. Man's real ego, or selfhood, is goodness. God holds man in the immutable harmony of divine law. Man is a celestial, and in the spiritual universe he is forever individual and forever harmonious. Think of it. You are forever individual, the rarest thing on earth. In all the 70 or 80 billion humans who've walked this planet, never has there been one exactly like you. Never will there be another exactly like you. And still, being one with God, you have every quality and attribute of infinite good. I must do unto others as I would have others do unto me. For in reality, the I of you and the I of me are the same I, namely, the I that I am. The I am that you are is the same I that I am. This calls for unconditional love, helping others and always exhibiting good temper. It means giving up your need to control. If someone criticizes you, wrote Epictetus 2,000 years ago, agree at once. Mention that if only the other person knew you well, there'd be more to criticize than that. Through the amenities of love and diplomacy, we discern that indifference to our fellow creatures is the essence of inhumanity. When men mistakenly deified the human Jesus, it showed the enormous value that humanity puts on love and on the ideal of developing love in the human heart. We need to remember also that it won't do to have the harmlessness of a dove until we also get the wisdom of the serpent. The innocence that thinketh no evil, warned Mrs. Eddy, not having that wisdom that Solomon demands of the wise man to foresee evil and hide himself, is but the prey and victim of evil. This innocence is self-deceived, and despite itself deceiveth others. It is the blind leading the blind, which terminates with both landing in the ditch. Mrs. Eddy speaks of the loving patience of Jesus. Jesus, the model of infinite patience. Your life, too, can be a model of patience. The lives of great men and women are models of patience and perseverance, not because they had or have more patience than anyone else, but because they used their patience. The basic pattern we establish will determine our degree of happiness and holiness. With each act that is motivated by love, each time you realize that the one you are dealing with is God's presence, there goes through the body a health-giving power, pouring in strength, energy, and vitality. To be whole, love must be embraced in every phase of our daily life, for no other reason than that of enlightened self-interest. Love is the fundamental source of human security and achievement. Even the human infant quickly learns that love is the indispensable element in his life. As love's steady desire for constructive action permeates our whole being, we give and receive love freely, and are spared becoming the easy prey of anxiety, guilt, fear, and resentment. The vast shrine of love that we know as civilization and culture has been built by the countless legions that have followed the leadings of Christ Jesus, St. Paul, Mary Baker Eddy, and other great spiritual leaders who have appeared on earth. Talking the right and living the wrong is foolish deceit. Today, many teachers in our schools, seeing the prevalence of drugs, sensuality, and disrespect for authority, feel that America is at the crossroads in its history. Ethics are simple matters of right and wrong. But it is the practice of ethics that to many seems difficult. Only as we do God's will is thy kingdom come. The doing is ours. God's work is done. Character is what we are in the dark. When we have a clear sense that the decision between right and wrong is not negotiable, it makes us do the right thing when no one is looking, and so forever blesses and strengthens us. Dr. Richard Goddard, D.D., Ph.D., Chancellor of one of our great American colleges, the California-based College of Christianity, defends Mary Baker Eddy's teaching on sin when he maintains that talking the right and living the wrong is foolish deceit that keeps even many Christian scientists in bondage to the letter that killeth. With remarkable intuition and strong analytical ability, Dr. Goddard holds that to the degree we do not completely understand and realize Mary Baker Eddy's vision, then to that degree we are still in sin, missing the mark. The Chancellor insists that students must learn that knowing the truth is not merely a mental perception and parroting of saying, but rather must truth be experienced as a living reality. Dr. Goddard would have his students stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, the yoke of drugs, sensualism, and inability to see the difference between right and wrong. Yes, in science it is true that the one we are dealing with is always God's presence, since God is all. But until there is a spiritual realization of this great fact, the evangelization of the human self must continue. The more our instant reaction to every error is, infinite good alone is power, the only presence, the sooner we will arrive at the goal of goodness. As has been wisely said, life is made up of little things. He who travels over a continent on foot must go step by step. He who writes a book must write it sentence by sentence. He who learns a science must master it fact by fact. What is the happiness of our life made up of? Little courtesies, little kindnesses, pleasant words, genial smiles, expressions of gratitude for services done, a friendly letter, good wishes, and good deeds. One in a million, once in a lifetime, may do a heroic act, but the little things that make up our life come every day and every hour. If love is truly the magician that pulls man out of his own hat. To be happy, we need to take the milk of human kindness out of the deep freeze every day, not only at Christmas time. In her article, Fidelity, Mrs. Eddy points out the importance of loving human relationships and how they lead to higher spiritual joys. The lives of great men and women are miracles of patience and perseverance. To a first reader, Mrs. Eddy wrote, "The little that I have accomplished has all been done through love, self-forgetfulness, patient, unfaltering tenderness. Let not the spirit of love, patience, kindness desert us. As we exercise these qualities, they rise from within us and become part of us. In prayer," wrote John Bunyan, "it is better to have a heart without words than words without a heart." Love alone is life. The sharp experiences of earth often open our eyes to the realization that health, as well as happiness, is an inside job. Mrs. Eddy disclosed the secret when she acknowledged that all she had achieved had been done by getting Mary out of the way and letting God be reflected. "When I would reach this tone, the sick would be healed without a word." Unquote. What brings heaven down to earth? What is it we all long for? What are the qualities that wed us to God, that awaken the realization of what we already are and always have been? Quote, "Pure humanity, friendship, home, the interchange of love. Who remembers that patience, forgiveness, abiding faith, and affection are the symptoms by which our Father indicates the different stages of man's recovery from sin, from the illusion of having been born into matter, and his entrance into science? Who knows how the feeble lips are made eloquent, how hearts are inspired, how healing becomes spontaneous, and how the divine mind is understood and demonstrated? He alone knows these wonders, who is departing from the thraldom of the senses, a universal hypnotic state, and accepting spiritual truth." Unquote. When Mrs. Eddy learned that her student, Carol Norton, had died, she sent for his bereaved widow to comfort her. Mrs. Eddy asked her to sit on the sofa beside her. Quote, "She took me in her arms and kissed me. She was not afraid to express her love humanly, and I did not mistake it, for I learned then and there that divine love must be expressed humanly in order to heal the brokenhearted. Oh, let us all learn to love as did this precious Christ idea. Let us love her because she first loved us by teaching us that life is love and love is life." Unquote. An instinctive awareness of the power of touch to convey deep feeling is reflected in such expressions as having a touching experience, being touched, and keeping in touch. When words fail, we reach out physically. Helen Keller, almost blind and deaf totally from birth, wrote in her diary, "My dog was rolling in the grass. I wanted to catch a picture of him in my fingers, and I touched him lightly. Lo, his fat body revolved, stiffened, and solidified into an upright position. He pressed close to me, as if to crowd himself into my hand. He loved it with his tail, his paw, his tongue. If he could speak, I believe he would say with me that paradise is attained by touch." Unquote. How often we feel, "My hand may not touch yours, but my heart will, with tenderness unutterable." When angels visit us, we know their presence by the love they create in our hearts. Oh, may you feel this touch, and let it kindle in you a sound sentiment, for only what feeds and fills the sentiment with unworldliness can give peace and goodwill toward men. This peace comes as we help others see the God qualities in themselves. This is especially true in marriage. Do we set an example that makes our spouse and others try to emulate us? In all successful marriages or business relationships, partners help each other to improve and grow. "There is a destiny that makes us brothers," wrote Edwin Markham. "None goes his way alone. All that we send into the lives of others comes back into our own." In the same vein, Mozart wrote, "Neither a lofty degree of intelligence, nor imagination, nor both together, go to the making of genius. Love, love, love. That is the soul of genius." Unquote. Mrs. Eddy wrote of Mozart that he experienced more than he expressed. In 406 B.C., Sophocles wrote, "One word frees us all of the weight and pain of life. That word is love." Brief number 11. Expansion of understanding is heaven. Returning to the first edition on page 223, we read, "When realizing life as it is, namely soul, not sense, or the personal man, we shall expand into truth and self-completeness that embrace all things and need communion with nothing more than itself to find them all." This is one of the most enlightening and powerful statements in the first edition. This realization and expansion is true creation. As we constantly look away from the body, the mirage, knowing that it is what hypnotism is showing us, we incline more and more toward the true creation, the spiritual and immortal. We find the infinite invisible taking over our life and using us as a vehicle for its expression. As we follow in the path of purity, this infinite invisible fulfills itself in our life. It provides us with everything necessary for the fulfillment of the God message for which we are the messenger. And that is always one with the message. Quote, "There is no lack in God, the kingdom of God within our consciousness, within the I that I am. But we do not avail ourselves of spirit, but of personality or matter, the misconception. Joint heirs with God are the partakers of an inheritance where there is no division of estate. Just as in arithmetic, we are joint heirs with the principle of arithmetic where there is no division of estate. Each one has it all. In both the divine inheritance and the arithmetical inheritance, understanding alone decides how much we are able to partake of what in reality is ours here and now. We are spirit, but knowing this not, we go on to vainly suppose ourselves body and not soul." Unquote. Today's precarious world situation will be successfully met only if sufficient individual men and women will use love to conquer hate in their personal lives. Conquering the atom, which has for the past two decades conjured up the possibility of total destruction of civilization, makes it imperative that we work at conquering ourselves. At this historic moment in human history, a new surge of love must flow, and is flowing forth from the kingdom of God within us, to help the world find its way to freedom and to love for one another. A friend writes, "The rapid movement of world events over the past few months leaves us all breathless. It represents a tide of human striving for freedom virtually unparalleled in history. It is more than the defeat of communism. It is a worldwide revolt against centralization. It is a movement not just for the freedom of nations and peoples, but for the diffusion of power within societies, for greater individual liberty and increased self-determination. As you work at conquering yourself, you are toiling for the spiritually indispensable. All impartations of good come from the divine I within you. When you forgive others, this I within you knows it and blesses you. In her message for 1900, Mrs. Eddy admonishes, quote, "Let no root of bitterness spring up among you, but hold in your full hearts fervently the charity that seeketh not her own, but another's good." The Passover, spiritually discerned, is a wonderful passage over a tear-filled sea of repentance, which, of all human experience, is the most divine. And after this Passover cometh victory, faith, and good works, unquote. From first edition, reckoning ourselves from the standpoint of soul instead of personal sense, we progress spontaneously. The evidence of personal sense, or life in matter, is utterly reversed in science, wherein we learn there is neither a personal God nor a personal man. Look away from your body, and you will find God reality. Let go the belief you live in matter, and you will grow. Personality will be swallowed up in the boundless love, the love that is the kingdom of God within you, that shadows forth man. This is not losing man, but finding yourself more blessed as principle than person, as God than man, as soul than sense, and yourself and neighbor one. Here she's telling you that as you develop spiritual consciousness, there will come a point in your experience when the Christ takes over and lives your life for you, as you. We know this happened to Mrs. Eddy, and it must have happened to some of her students, who were taking up to 100 patients a day and healing most of them of every type of sickness and discord. These students were proving that when you are consciously one with God, you are consciously one with the individual consciousness of your neighbor and of everyone, since the I of you is also the I of your neighbor and of everyone. Therefore, when the I of you knows the truth, it is known for your patient also and heals him. When you awake from the Adam dream of living in a material body, you find yourself to be love, life, and truth because you understand them. You find yourself to be one with the plan and purpose of all-enfolding, all-bestowing love, which life individualizes in ever new forms of truth, your Christ-expressing selfhood. Thus we arrive at the state St. Paul speaks of, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Then shall I know, even as also I am known. Why is this true? Because God is all true consciousness. God is individual mind, your mind. Your true consciousness, which knows only itself. Infinite good, conscious of itself, is what is called man. The illusory mind of man is only aware of itself, of misconception, misinterpretation, illusion. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God does know. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. What things are freely given to us of God? Such things as, quote, our present ownership of all good, unquote. Mrs. Eddy is here teaching us that God has freely given us all that God, infinite good, is. Our work is to let this great truth awaken us to a spiritual understanding of the all good that is ours here and now. When this infinite good is spiritually understood, the consciousness of God as love gives man power with untold furtherance. Mrs. Eddy informs us that because the kingdom of God is within you, you are alone with your own being and with the reality of things. You can therefore know that you possess sovereign power to think and act rightly, and that nothing can dispossess you of this heritage and trespass on love. In everything, Mrs. Eddy wrote, that was always your life, your omnipotent divine life that she was talking about. She wanted you to see that the I of you is God. She wanted you to turn to this I, this kingdom of God within your own consciousness, and listen for its voice so that it can reveal itself to you, reveal to you your divinity. When this I within you speaks, error disappears because it never was there. Just as in mathematics, when you comprehend 2 times 2 equals 4, then 2 times 2 equals 5 disappears because it was never there. Error may seem great and powerful in its apparent magnitude, but speak the truth to it and it collapses. We live in a universe of perfect form, said Mrs. Eddy. Not only our body, but all that is formed is literally the body of God and is perfect now. To believe that the infinite substance has been malformed through ignorant mental activity of the individual and must be redeemed and perfected through the same activity is to see not one power but two. Love is the only power. There is no condition in the body any more than there is a condition in the mirage on the desert. Both are illusions. There is nothing in the body to be rebuilt or straightened or healed. There is nothing to change. There is nothing needed but to see God, infinite good, right where the error seems to be. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. Unquote. Your harvest is at hand, said Jesus. Love holds the remedy for every discord. In the Bible, God often used the least likely person to accomplish his purposes. When Moses complained to God that he could not speak well enough to be a leader, God told him, I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. God can use whatever godlike qualities we possess in his purpose to turn and overturn until the science of our being is reached and the 12 stars on the head of the God-crowned woman have been accomplished. Infinite good asks of us to be craftsmen, investing our talents, returning to our work each day, and each day attacking that same old problem as though it were a fresh new one, trying a little harder in our work and in our lives. In our occupation or calling, St. Paul encourages, there are diversities of gifts. Just as the eagle knows when it's supposed to fly rather than creep or walk, as the bee makes its cones, the beaver builds its dam, the bird its nest, the dandelion pushes its head through the concrete, so we too, each having certain talents, should recognize these talents as God speaking to us through our vocational bents, in the same way that infant good speaks to us through reason, feeling, instinct, impression, or impulse. It is fascinating, for instance, to read about the gift given to Sherm Shavur, who himself had never learned to swim, yet he coached Mark Spitz to his 7 gold medals and his other swimmers to set 60 world records and 80 American records. Seeking one's own in another's good. The love that alone is life calls on us to express love that is the reflection of divine love. Love can never be separated from wisdom.